Lord God, we come in that wonderful name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for the gentleness of our Savior, that loving kindness, Lord God. Oh, that meekness and just that wondrous peace that passes all understanding. Lord, let it just flood in our hearts today. God, let that mind of your Son just live in us, reign in us. Lord, let us put on the helmet of salvation today to know more and more who we are in Christ. Know the hope of your calling, Father, and go in and possess the full inheritance that you have given. We thank you again for your great love. It's given us everything because it gave us your Son. And in his beautiful name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you'd open your Bibles today, we'll begin in Psalm 47. And we have a psalm so beautiful and precious about the rejoicing of God's keeping and God's choosing. And we know that the Lord tells us that he's never changing. And his choice is always love. He tells us in the Word of God, I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. And here in this precious 47th psalm, we have a section that, yes, is speaking of Israel, specifically to the nation of Israel. But in the fourth verse of that 47th psalm is such a precious statement that applies to all of God's precious children. It says, he shall choose our inheritance for us. Now, that's a marvelous statement. If you really don't know the Word of God, you'd wonder, well, what does that mean? What is the Lord really trying to tell us? Well, that's not just for Israel. It's for us. If you go on over to Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, and there's so many places in the Word of God we can venture to see this assurance that God is giving us. And here we are today, and we thank the Lord as we come into this house of bread, that this is a place, praise God, that the Lord is magnified. We thank the Lord that we follow Paul here as he followed Christ. We thank the Lord as the Word of God, by his grace, gives us the encouragement, go on to strong meat, to eat the strong meat. The foundation has been laid. We thank God for that. Without the foundation, there'd be no building thereupon. But we need to go on. And not to return to the milk, but to go on and to continue always to feast upon the strong meat. And here's what it tells us of our calling here in the 29th verse of the 8th chapter of Romans. For whom he did for no. And that's you. That is you. Just like Israel, just like God telling them, he's telling us, I have chosen the inheritance for you. So here we have, for whom he did for no. He also did predestinate. That's you. To be conformed the same, to the same image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's just the beginning. Moreover you, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm learning, praise God, to lean upon Jesus. I am learning by the grace of God to really depend upon him and not upon me, but him. Because the Word of God has assured us, and that is Jesus himself. He says to us, I will. I will, I will, I will perform the good work which I have begun in you. Now, we'll hear that one more time. He said, I will perform the good work which I have begun in you. I'm going to ask you, has the Lord begun a work in you? Yes. Oh, yes, he has. Well, I'm going to ask you something. Does the Word of God not tell us that he withholds nothing good from our lives? Amen, it does. Well, he said then that what he's done and what he's doing and what he's begun, he will perform. Not might, not that he's thinking about it. But he assures us, I will perform the good work which I've begun in you. In you. Isn't that beautiful? Everything is in you. And what did he put in you? In Christ. Where does Christ live? He lives in me. So I thank the Lord. It's all about the new man. It's all about the new birth. And thanks be to God, it's all about him performing it, that I am his workmanship. And here, brothers and sisters, I think so definitely over in Galatians 4, and yes, verse 1. This tells us so specifically what he has chosen for every single one of God's children. Every single one. Every child of God is born of God. Every child of God is born again. Every child of God, praise the Lord, has the new life in them. Every child of God, praise the Lord, died. Yes, with him. And we thank the Lord that even though I no longer live, yet there is a life that lives in me. Oh, yes. And it's Christ that liveth in me. Yes. And so it tells us all of this new life in Galatians 4:1 that the heir, and you are an heir of God. The Word of God assures you that as children, you are heirs of God. All of us are heirs of God. And as an heir of God, it does tell us this right here. As an heir of God or as a child, as long as he is a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Let that sink in. Let that really, really, really sink in. I'm so thankful we sing songs, I'm a child of the King. I'm so thankful that we are children of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing to be a child. I love children. I love my kids when they were babies and little toddlers and growing up and all of those different things. But I thank God for the fruit now that comes forth in such abundance of a fellowship that they can have with their dad. And I thank the Lord that here we have something so far beyond that. That as children, we are heirs of God. And what it is telling us here, by being born of God, being born an heir of God, we're not servants. And isn't that ironic? Because the majority of Christianity, you'll go into those churches, and it's all going to be about how can we serve the Lord? How about how can we worship the Lord? How about being what God the Father is looking for? He seeks the true worshiper who worships his Son in spirit and in truth. Amen? Instead of getting some type of a fantasy how I'm going to feel good about my Christian service, how about the working truly of the Spirit in my life that causes me that vessel that wills and does of his good pleasure? Amen? Did he not love? He loved them all in that house that Martha set for this supper for him. He loved them all. But he showed who he was drawn to. He showed to them. And he told them specifically, here's what I choose. Here's what I want. This is my desire. And matter of fact, I'm not here to eat. I'm not here to watch you serve me. I'm here to have this woman love me. And she's there at his feet, washing him with her tears, anointing him, and he is somewhere else in ecstasy, and then Martha has to pipe in. Well, Mary, you should be helping us. What are you doing? You need to be busy. You need to be about this work. And I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful Jesus shut that down. If you want that way, because you can sure feel good about yourself, Christian, just building a whole bunch of wood, hay, and stubble. But I thank God these lights came on here today, and we're here to reign with him. Reign with him. That's what we have, and that's what I pray we will always be quickened to rule and to reign jointly together with him. I want what he desires. If I really love him, I don't want to serve him. I want to love him. I want to love him as he's loved me and always loved me. And drawing me, praise God, with his love. And here, praise God, he shuts that down and said, don't disturb her. Don't disturb her. She's chosen the better. You want the better? I loved how Brother Hill would always say it. Do you want the butter or do you want margarine? Huh? Come on now. We can talk about every different thing that we have in life. If you really could have the best, why wouldn't you take it? But especially with God. And he's telling us here, I've already given you everything. Your birth is not as a servant. Your birth is Lord of all. Because it's the same life of my son. Let the Spirit make that connection. Just truly see it in such ease. Truly in such ease. The life of Christ is what lives in you. Jesus Christ, all power is given in that name. Everything's been put under him. Everything. So the Lord didn't give you a life like him. He didn't give you a life that was kind of like him. He gave you his very life. And it's all a oneness in him. It's his. He's the head. We're the body of that same body. And I thank the Lord. He wants me to grow up into him in all things and grow up into this knowledge. And truly this grace we speak of and preach and the immensity of it. That, Lord, truly you want me to share everything with you. You don't want me to see it from afar off. You don't want me standing before you waving a palm. You want me right with you. You didn't just seat me in the heavens right now in front of you. You didn't just seat me in the heavens around you and put me in a house. You sat me together with you in the throne, Jesus. There's intimacy from the get-go. It's not something that he wanted you distance. He draws you to him. He draws you to him. But the question is, will we go? Do I let my mind get in the way and say, well, this isn't what I've heard. This isn't, you know, the way that religion does this. Oh, he's God. Yes, he is God. But God is love. And that God is a relationship, and it's not just a relationship of a wonderful father and Jesus, a wonderful friend and a savior. He's a lover of my soul. This whole word, praise God, as you go through it, it's about the intimacy of one that's drawn from the others, that the Lord draws, that knows that heart. And yes, he knows your heart because he's chosen you in his son. So he tells us here what he's chosen us for. Praise God. We're born of God. And we are heirs. But we're heirs to be Lord of all. Not heirs to have a mind of a servant. See, that's where, the devil wants to keep you in that state of your self-righteousness, ignorance, maybe just complacency, laziness with the Lord, to not know this. We're talking about eternity, and more importantly, we're talking about what God has loved us with since ages past to give us. Now, so I believe we'll settle in now that it can't be denied that for every child of God, he has one thing in mind, his best. His best. Yes, he does. And it's to rule and to reign jointly together with Christ. Now, with that, go back over to something you've heard, and I thank God, thousands of times in this place. And it's found over there in Ephesians. And chapter 3, verse 6. Now, let this even become more real to you, even though it is more real than anything, because it's the Word of God. And this will endure forever, but will we step into this in faith and partake in the joy of this promise for our lives? So we understand now that born of God, we're an heir of God, not to be a servant, but an heir of God, born Lord of all. We go so many different places in the Word of God, it tells you the same thing. All those stories, praise the Lord, that you read in the Old Testament, it was all about reigning. It was all about that wife to be married to the husband, to rule and to reign with him. Yes, that's that mystery, praise God, that has been revealed. But it says here in the sixth verse of the third chapter that the Gentiles, now it's to us, should be, all right, fellow heirs. One of the most glorious words in the whole Word of God. It is. You don't find it very often. Two places that it's so profound in. You find it here in the eighth chapter of Romans, where it says, as children, heirs of God, and joint heirs. That's what this word fellow heirs means in the Greek, with Jesus Christ. So an heir of God, born an heir, but then he wants us to go on and to be a joint heir. But that's not just by birth. Uh-uh. That's by growth. That's by growing up. Oh, yes, it is. All grace. And I believe the Word of God, I think I read this somewhere, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I know this isn't from works. I know this isn't by my goodness or my intelligence or my longevity in the Word of God. It's by grace. It's by falling in love with grace and having that wonderful just the enlightened eyes of understanding the beauty and the majesty and the power and the love of the grace of God to grow us up into him in all things, to share this with him. But see, this is what this fellow heirs is. This is what this joint heirs with Jesus Christ is. This is what you were born for, Lord of all. To not remain an heir, but to be Lord of all. But if we're going to be blinded somehow that my Christian life is all about service, I'm not going to understand about reigning. And you're hearing about reigning. You're hearing about reigning today. And I pray you'll come back, and I'll pray that the Lord give you an ear to hear the things that the Spirit says to the Church of Philadelphia. Amen. To be alive and awakened to it and to say, oh Lord, it is. It's the only thing I see. That's what the Holy Ghost will do. He'll get a hold of your heart in this and to say, oh Lord, you desire this for me. You desire this for me. This is what you've given me. It's before me. Oh God, help me to lay down a palm. I had to take up a palm, really, because truly, praise be to God, he gave me a crown from the very beginning. It was there. It was there to have. It was there to possess. It wasn't something I achieved. It was still grace. He had already blessed me with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Amen? Amen? It's all there. He gave it to you. You got it all. You have to reject it by not growing up. You have to reject it by not believing. You can say, oh, well, my goodness, why isn't this preached everywhere? Why isn't it? Because whom he foreknew. He knew you. He knew your heart. He saw you in ages past. This is God we're speaking about here. Don't discount this. And this isn't to shine you. This isn't to throw flowers at you. This is the word of the Lord. It was there for all. It always has been. He's a gracious, an amazing, gracious God. But he tells us here in this wonderful verse that we should be joint heirs, fellow heirs. That means as husband and wife with Jesus Christ. That's not putting in or fitting in words. It's just what it is. And it's just what it is throughout all of the Word of God. And it's like, Lord, help me to take an accounting. What do I really want? Am I just floating through this? I'm thankful for anybody who loves the Lord. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be born of God. But why waste it? Why make this grace vain in your life? Paul said that, Lord, don't let me make this grace vain, empty to me. That grace is always going to be immense. He's given it all. He's going to keep giving it. But what will we do with it? What's more valuable than the grace of God? What's more valuable than what he's shown us and given us and this word of his grace that truly just blows my mind and my heart? What is? And we know that's a rhetorical, stupid question. The answer is nothing. Nothing could be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in them that believe. Nothing. Nothing we experience, nothing we go through, nothing that we confront. Nothing. Because this glory is so great. See, brothers and sisters, I want to be of those truly that cry to God and say, oh my, he hath made us kings unto God. But see, that's not just going to be something, oh, I got aware of there. No, it's what you got here. And isn't it beautiful what the Holy Ghost can give to your understanding? That you can read this and say, that's true. It's just what it said from all the time, because this hasn't changed. But what did change? In here. He grew up. Grew up to understand what his daddy wanted for him. That I put away the childish things and the stupidity of life. And I finally became aware how much my father loved me. And there isn't anything. I mean, it causes you to groan because of the love wherewith we are loved. The grace that has been bestowed. But see, this is the God who's the most loving God there could ever be. The God that fully and freely gave us everything in his Son. And then he said, because I gave you him so freely, how could I not also give you freely all things? And he always puts that word freely in there, freely in there, freely in there, just because we're kind of dumb sheep. And we always want to revert to, well, I got to do something to get something, and that's not how God works. It just doesn't work that way. What don't you get? And I'm so thankful I heard that so many times in this place. What don't you get about free? What don't you get about free? God, help me not to get what grace is about. It's freely given. And it's just there for the taking. And I'll tell you what, by the grace of God, you got to get really lowly to take all grace. Because you got to finally figure out there ain't a shred of decency or goodness in you, that you go boldly to that throne of grace. And the first thing you get is exactly this exact extreme opposite of what you don't deserve. Mercy. Oh, I thank him. This is a God. He made hell and the lake of fire for the fallen angels and Satan. He didn't make it for man. This is the God, praise the Lord, that tells us in 1 Timothy 2:4, I would that all men be saved. All men be saved. And come to the full knowledge of the truth. So we thank the Lord. We know that this is a God. Just Lord, help me to be honest before you. Help me to be sincere and meet you in your word and its sincerity of what it's preached. That he is not a respecter of person. He's not. And as the Lord that's not a respecter of person, he's that way in everything. And I thank the Lord because of his wonderful love to all of us. He loves all of his sons the same. And he gave each of us the very same life, and he gave us the same inheritance. It's all right there. But the only thing that's required is, will we grow up into the knowledge of it? Do you want to know? I mean, do you really want to know? I believe you're here. God's drawn us. I want to know. And I'll tell you one thing about knowing Him. There's always more to know. As Joshua, as he was before all of those 12 tribes, how glorious. The Lord had taken him into the promised land. He took him into Canaan. And there was the representatives of each of the 12 tribes before him. And they knew and they did believe that the Lord had given them their inheritance, their promise. And once again, the grace of God that drew them in. Because think about that. Every single one of those that received that promise from Joshua, it wasn't one of them except for Joshua and Caleb that came out of Egypt. You talk about grace. Those kids were just born out there. They were. But their parents, their grandparents, they never made it in. Unbelief kept them out. But God gave them more grace. I'm not holding that against you. I'm not holding that against you because your parent did wrong or your grandparent didn't. This is up to you. I'll draw you in. I'll take you just as you are. I don't care what anybody else has thought about you or even you. What will you do with me today? And there was Joshua, and he was before those tribes, and God is ready to give them their inheritance. So here they come to get it. You know what Joshua says to me? Said to me? Yeah, because this word speaks to me. Describe it and it's yours. And he tells him, have you walked through it? Do you know it? Now listen, it's yours, but you'll never possess it unless you go and walk through it. And you come back and you tell me and describe it to me. Tell me how beautiful it is what God has given. Tell me about the beautiful promise that the Lord has so magnificently brought to you from ages past that you would have. Do you see the beauty in the promise that the Lord has given us? Matter of fact, the Word of God says, even a better thing than what was given to Israel. Now, brothers and sisters, it's a marvelous thing. But we have this precious Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As Brother Hill used to tell us so many times, do you know your birthright? I can tell him today, I do. And I see the same smile on your face too. We do. Oh, what a gathering it's going to be. I'm sorry I didn't share that joy with you, but you know what? It's how you finish. Oh, glory to God. I'm about ready to burst at the seams. But I want you to know this. See, without hearing this bridal promise, you won't have faith for it. Do you know that every single promise in this precious word, you know how they were inherited? By faith. It was all there, already given, all there for them. But the only way that you could possess what had been given to you is you had to believe it. If you didn't take it, you'd never get it. You wouldn't. I mean, it did. It just showed us so clearly with those that came out of Egypt. They heard. Those millions heard. They saw the plagues. They saw the miracles. They had that preaching, praise God, for 400 years. God's going to take us out. God's going to take us out. And he's got a promise for us. That land that he promised to Abraham and to Jacob and to Isaac, it's ours. But then after showing them and revealing and showing them the miracles of how he brought them out. Do you think about the miracles of your life, of how he brought you out? How he brought you here? How he brought you here? How he brought you here? Wake up! It's just so majestic. It's such a hand of God. This was no accident. This wasn't a happenstance. And the miracle, by miracle, by miracle, don't be like those children in the wilderness that saw all of those different things that happened there in Egypt, saw the mighty hand of God, and they just discounted it. Don't be like those that the Lord has shown himself so faithful to you to bring you to this promise and to say, oh, he brought me out here to die. Or he brought me out here to just leave me or to abandon me. Why didn't he just leave me back there? Don't be like that. Don't turn back to that. Don't be like those. You're not. He's called you. He's chosen. He's witnessed to you. I must know it to believe it. If you have never heard this or read this, there's not going to be any way you could believe this. That's the truth. You can't have faith for something. Matter of fact, because I know the Word of God tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you haven't heard this, you won't believe this. You have to hear it. And now you hear this. Amen. Amen. And it's even more. It's even the more. Because we live in the time of the more grace. This promise is even better. I, by faith, can see that. I'm so thankful. I witness that in faith, my brothers and sisters that came out. But I witness in faith, too, that they didn't continue to believe. They didn't encourage themselves in the Lord. They were looking for more of the acts of God instead of knowing the ways of God. And here we know the ways of God. It's the way of reigning. It's the way of ruling. It's the way of, I'm going to be glorified together with you, Jesus. That's it. And I understand this way. It's a way of hardness. It is. It's hardships. It's stuff that's going to hit, praise God. You would think it's strange, the fiery trial, but we don't call it that because we know. Oh, I get this. I understand this journey. I understand looking at that guy in the mirror. That didn't look like no overcomer to me, but praise be to God, I know he lives in me. And I know that's who God has put in me. I know, hallelujah, I've got a life of Lord of all. Lord of all. Praise the Lord. And I grow up in this grace. I grow up in this faith. And I grow up by hearing. Hearing it. God help us if we neglect so great salvation, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. If I'd revert back somehow again. Oh, Lord, what can I do? Lord, let me take my eyes off of this world. Even the events of this world. You already know. Look up. Look up. Quit complaining about what the enemy's doing. Quit just getting so saturated in the events of this life and start looking up. I don't want my life and my love drawn to here. I want to love his appearing. Not what I'm leaving, but what I'm going to. And I got a bridegroom, hallelujah, and he loves me, and he's been telling me, honey, I love you. I want you. I'm going to have you. I have that. Now, I thank God for this place, don't you? Over all the years, praise his name. We come in here and I thank the Lord, and it's not to feel good about ourselves, but it's to thank the Lord for what he's done. We've got a full inheritance. So don't be slothful. Don't. Begin to really be joyful. Be joyful in your home, not just when you come to church. Encourage one another. Don't judge one another. Judge no man. I want to love you. Praise be to God, you got a lot of problems. Well, you got a chance. Don't let anybody steer you off from this word. Praise be to God, it is yours. You, and I know you know this now, you were born to have it. Born of God to have it. And there's no going back. There just ain't no going back. That seed remaineth. Amen. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. And I thank God it's by grace through faith. He gave you a new life. He gave you His life. He gave you the life. Now let that life live fully by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I want you to think about that as we close up today. Think about that. The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. The life that you live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God. That's the life of Christ in you, faith. That's that life. It's not you. You died. Get rid of you. Understand who lives in you, and that faith life that's in you is the life of Christ. Did Jesus ever doubt what the Father was going to do? No. Well, I know that that's the life that lives in me. I know that's the life that lives in you. So I know that if somehow that I think I'm doubting this or I'm not believing this, I know that's a lie. I know that's not the life that lives in me. Do you get that? See, that's the life that lives in you. You can't discount that. It's His life. And it's His perfect life. And it's a full heir, Lord of all life. Why live a lie? Why live a lie? Why live something that's going to hurt you? Take from you, rob you. I'm not. Not by the grace of God, I'm not. And I want you to encourage me. This isn't the time to draw back. This is the time to press in. The Bible tells me, grow up, son. Do you believe that? To the measure and the stature and the fullness of Him? I'm looking, I thank God, and I appreciate this. I'm looking at the mature sons of God. Thank you, Jesus. I thank the Lord. God has revealed, and He does reveal the hearts of those to us. I thank God that there is that joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thank the Lord that there are hearts that are fully purposed for Him. And I thank the Lord, and I do, I pray for you like that. And I'm not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. But I thank God as I come here today, just as Paul said, bring me Timothy. Bring me Luke. Oh, what He's brought me today. I'm nothing. But I'll tell you what, His faith in me is something. And I'll tell you what, this is the inheritance He's chosen for us. And by the grace of God, I'm not going to let unbelief hold me back. I love the song, "It's All Mine." And I love the song because I'm in the royal line. I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray.
riches of the glory in Christ. It has been revealed to you by his prophets.
Jesus.
By the Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, Father, thank you. In Jesus' name we come to you with such thanksgiving. Thank you again for the mind of Christ. That, Lord, he that wills to know will know of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.